Hey, y'all out there, this is Bo Billingsley, the voice of Jet Black and the Fourth Raikage. You're listening to The Night Nerd. Stay tuned, because all kinds of good things will be happening.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk a little bit of history. All week, we've been looking at the number 3. It's my kiddo's, my youngest, third birthday this past Sunday. And yeah, why not? 3 is a really interesting number. Like, earlier in the week, you know, I said we weren't going to movie the rule number 21. Not movie 20, movie 43 is what I'm thinking. But the number 21 with Jim Carrey, we weren't going to do that. But we kind of are. Because the number 3 is everywhere. You know, it's one of the, when you're counting, it's like the third number you learn. It's funny, on the Wikipedia's page, the first thing it says is, it is the natural number following 2 and preceding 4. In case you were wondering, you know, it's there. But 3 is the largest number that's still written with the number lines corresponding to the value, you know, so that has 3 slashes. 1 is easy, because 1 will always be 1. A long time ago, the Romans wrote the number 4 with 4 slashes, but then they did the I and the V for, you know, 1 less than 5, and that kind of became the way to do it. But from Roman times, ancient Chinese times, everything, the number 3 has been like 3 slashes. And then in Gupta, they added the little swoops, the curves on the side to connect them. And after that, it was kind of, that was the way a lot of people wrote the number 3. And they just, you know, continued to refine it and refine it until it was just really smooth and became the number we know now. Now, at some point, though, they added the little stroke on the bottom. I'm sure you've seen some people write, you know, they do the 3 and then at the bottom just like, out like almost like a comma hanging from it. And that was an Arabic thing. And it became so important to them that they actually rotated it and made the swoosh line like the prominent part of the number 3. It looks kind of like if you take a 7, like the way Americans, we write a 7, and you flip it over, but it's wiggly at the top. That's what the 3 looks like, which is really interesting. And traditionally, it's what they call a descender. So it, when you're, you know, writing it, it drops, that bottom hoop will drop below the line. Not always, though. What I thought, out of all the stuff I learned about the number 3, one of the things I thought was the coolest is the flat top 3. You know, some people write a 3 where the top is flat and then it loops at the bottom instead of loop at the top and loop at the bottom. And the reason that is, the reason they made that is to keep people from making the 3 into an 8. That way, you know, helped cut down on fraud and things. So you'd see it, you'll see it on barcodes, some checks, on cards, things like that, just to help, prevent people from cheating and things, which I never realized that that's why. And it's really neat. So that's your super. The one takeaway from the show today is flat top 3 is to prevent corruption. That's crazy. In mathematics, you know, it's pretty important. You know, it's the first odd prime number and the second smallest prime number. It's usually used as a rough approximation for pi. It's the second factorial prime. It's the fourth in the Fibonacci number sequence. It's the smallest number of sides that a simple polygon can have. There's just so many things. It's the only prime which is one less than a perfect square. And, I mean, you can go on and on and on about all the random mathematic things there are. You know, it's Sophie Germain, Lucas Prime, triangular numbers, everything like that. And according to Pythagoras and the Pythagorean theorem, the people, which I've known, like, Pythagoras, I've known about for a long time, because when I was little, we had on VHS, and I'm sure some of you remember it, a Disney special called Donald Duck in Mathemagic Land. And it was awesome, and I love it, and I tracked it down on DVD for my kids to watch, because it's really informative and really cool, and you should check it out. But Pythagoras and his cronies, I guess, the number three, they called the triad, and said it was the noblest of all digits, and it's the only number to equal the sum of everything below it, and the only number whose sum with those below equal the product of them and itself, which is kind of crazy and heavy while being simple still at the same time. And I think it's, I don't know, interesting. One of the things that three is used for a lot is, you know, on the count of three. One, two, three. And the reason for that, the theory behind that is it's the lowest number you can have while setting, you know, a rate. You can't just say, okay, one. Or one, two. But you get that rhythm. One, two, three, go. You know, and it works. In Chinese culture, it's considered a good luck number because the way they pronounce it, it's a lot like the way you pronounce alive. So that's kind of neat. And but in East and Southeast Asia, it's not considered very lucky. Like if you take a picture with three people in it, the belief is that the person in the middle will be the first to die. So they don't do a whole lot of three people pictures. Also, for a long time, it's been superstitious not to take the third light, you know. And there's even some old Looney Tunes that reference that. So if you light a match and it's the third cigar or cigarette lit from it, that's considered real unlucky. But then on the flip side, you have, you know, third time's a charm. And good things come in threes. Although bad things come in threes. Celebrity deaths. I don't know. So three is a number that we definitely draw attention to. And not just in a mathematical sense, but also in religious senses as well. You'll see it pop up in a lot of different religions. Christianity. You know, you have the Holy Trinity, which we kind of talked about. You had the three wise men. Paul the Apostle was blind for 3 days. There's so many things. Judaism, Noah had three sons. The three matzos of the Passover Seder. Buddhism has the three jewels. Hinduism has the three gunas. And, I mean, we go on and on. Norse mythology. It's actually really, really big in Norse mythology. Three has to deal with the leading up to Ragnarok. Bor had three sons. Greek mythology, there was, you know, Hades, Poseidon, and Zeus. And it's just really, really a fascinating number. Like I said, it can be a big rabbit hole if you let it, if you start going down that path and trying to figure out, oh, you know, that has a three in it. Oh, that has to do with the number three. There's three sides to that. Don't do that. Please. I'm asking you now. I just turned over and looked, and I have a three-pack of Green Lantern Funkos over there. It was the first thing I saw. And like I said, it'll creep up on you. It'll do that. I'll probably be doing it this week after talking about three so much, but you don't do that. But if you do, let me know. I'd love to hear what kind of stories you have. You can let us know in the comments below here on SoundCloud or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just look for The Night Nerd. We'd love to hear from you. Also, shoot us an email, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. Hit that little subscribe button. That way you get Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words, Family Sounds, and the first, like, 70 episodes of DC Animated Adventures. They're switching over to their own stream next week, which we're really excited about. And then, yeah, you also have our back catalog and all sorts of great things. But that's going to do it for us today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Oh, my darling, not
the ceiling if you want me. Twice on the pipe. If the answer is no.